Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast. As we interview marketers, networkers, business people, people that are in the business world that know the hustle, and of course, have a conversation of what's happening and what ideas you can grab from it. And today's guest is Matt Ficken. I met him through another podcast and also through LinkedIn. He's a very good networker. He networks me with other people in the industry, and he's from Atlanta, which is where my family first immigrated to. So definitely have a lot of relation with that. Matt, welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
Matt, first time we met was a couple months ago, and you were really easy to connect with. How do you do that?
I think it's key to make sure that you are easy to find and to connect with. That was a lesson I learned when I was a BDR. Like, make sure your phone number is visible. People got to be able to get a hold of you, And making sure that you have your and in today's age, making sure that you've got the social media presence to where people go to Google for everything. Got to find something. I got to find this guy that's in Matt Ficken in Atlanta. I want to show up. I want to make sure that I'm visible. So. Yeah, making sure your all your profiles are up to date and able to be found is key.
Yeah, and just being accessible. I'm in all the platforms. Do I like social media? Yes, I do. Some people use social media because they have to, but I enjoy it. It's just like the flow of things. How do you take on social media? Like, do you take it because you like it or because you just have to?
Man, I think you bring up a really good point. I enjoy using it. I mean, to go back to kind of that more traditional business development rep model where you were just banging out calls, I don't know that many people actually enjoy making cold calls. I think it's like a necessary evil. I do think today that is still something you need to do, but popping on LinkedIn and making connecting with LinkedIn prospects on LinkedIn, that's essential. And I think for me, it's more fun. I get to know a little bit about you. I get to see your history. Oh, where'd you go to school? Oh, you went to Alabama. Great. You're probably a great guy or girl. So I, to your point, I have more fun with it. And I think that makes it more conducive to having relevant conversations with prospects, with new business partners, and that kind of thing.
Before we get into the social media platforms, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Matt Ficken was born in, just north of Atlanta in a suburb called Dunwoody. Went to the University of Alabama, got out of there in 2009. So just in time, I left just in time for Nick Saban to start winning championships. I go back and visit the school today and I'm like, you kids don't know how great you got it. National titles every other year. You don't know what it was like. But, anyway, after that, I moved right back to Atlanta. Atlanta's a fantastic market that just keeps growing and growing and growing. So I like to think as I've grown and developed, so too has the city of Atlanta. And it's just a great place to be weather-wise and everything, but also a great place to succeed and find opportunities. So I've been mostly almost entirely in sales roles since I've moved back to Atlanta from the University of Alabama.
Yeah, so you were in Alabama before the Nick Saban era, right?
Oh yeah, I was Coach Shula when I was there, and I will say this: definitely didn't have the win percentage that Nick Saban has. I don't know that anybody does really, but he made for some interesting games. I'll tell you that. It was always what's going to happen today? I don't know. So that was a plus.
It's true. Now it's like you're going to win.
I get those text messages every once in a while that from people that go to University of Indiana or whatever, and they're like, are you just bored? Are you just bored with it now? Is it even fun to watch these games? I'm like, wow. Yeah.
haters.
It's always great to watch us steamroll over people. We're so spoiled too. It's like, oh man, we didn't get the shutout. Man, we're really slipping. Like, gosh.
Yeah, which I actually lived in Birmingham for 2 years, and I just saw that football was on a whole different level there. It was God, it was something that I never experienced. I mean, I'm here from Miami, and there's Miami Dolphin fans, but Alabama fans or the institution of football there goes through years, since Bear Bryant, maybe even before that.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, it goes way back even to what I can remember is like Wallace Wade was before that, one of the head coaches. Ah, man, was it in the 20s and 30s or something like that? I mean, it is.
Good chance it was.
It's way back there.
Maybe the 1800s.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I think they were probably playing football back then, but yeah, I don't know when it all started.
Anyways, your networking skills is really good. I've noticed that when I first connected with you back in about a couple months ago, you were networking with people, with clients. How do you, what is your networking secret? Like, how do you do it?
Yeah, so it's so funny. People will say that to me. I had a lunch with a mentor probably a month ago, and he said something to that effect, like what you just said, like, oh, your superior networking skills. And I'm like, how do you know how good I, because like in my mind, I am really good at networking, but like, how does everybody know that how effective it is for me? But I think it is something back to something you brought up at the beginning of the conversation, which was, it just sort of comes naturally. I love to meet people. Like, what's up with you? What are you doing? And then I love the business lens of that. Like, how are you making money? What are your margins on that? Which, oh, you're looking to sell your business? I know a guy who brokers businesses, and I actually know a guy who just exited a business and would be looking for something like this. Or, hey, you're having a problem with your sales pipeline. You need some new business development reps. Here's some people you can talk to about that. So I just naturally start connecting people after I find out what they do and how they work and that kind of thing, and start trying to spot some problems. And so it just kind of it, and it's funny because you'll make like three intros for somebody, and even if they don't really go anywhere, then that person still is like, hey, you need to talk to this person and this person and this person, and it's like the momentum gets rolling on that thing, and it's like hard to stop it. Not that you would. But then I like to leverage tools like LinkedIn to help me stay in front of people. So it's one thing to get in front of them and meet them, and even maybe make some introductions for them that might lead to closed business or maybe just a good strategic partner for them. But then how do I stay top of mind? And I've found LinkedIn to be a really good way to do that if you can populate useful information for people. And so whenever somebody, and I might ask you this question. But whenever someone says something to that effect, like, oh, I see you on LinkedIn all the time, I'm like, is it good stuff? Is it relevant? Or do you see it and you go, oh, there goes Matt again? And I think that's another thing, is to make sure that what you're getting in front of people is important to them.
I've been using LinkedIn for the past year and I love it. I think it's very underused. I think it's been getting more popular lately because of the algorithm news feed. Because Facebook and Instagram and even Twitter, like the algorithm is kind of like not in favor organically for you, but LinkedIn is still using old school news feed. I think it still is. And I've been networking with people. I mean, I've gotten two or three deals through LinkedIn. Is LinkedIn more po I mean, like the most, like most vital platform for you? For you?
Gosh, I would say so. I mean, it really is important to my day to day. I try to think of something I can post at least 4 out of 5 days a week. I have a pitch practice that we organize through 1 Million Cups and in Atlanta, and I post that on there every Wednesday morning with some pictures. So there's some visual there, and then I also before the meeting, before the event, I post it to try to get attendance, and I think it's really been effective in getting people to come and not only attend but also get new people in there to pitch for that. So yeah, it's one of those vital levers. I'm actually always afraid that Microsoft is going to say, all right, now, because I get so much, for me it's like so much free networking, I guess, out of it. I'm just afraid one day they're going to say, hey, I know you have this really impressive following on LinkedIn, but if you want to keep going, you gotta pay up. So that's a concern of mine.
Something that is that's something that my clients ask me about their Facebook pages, like their Facebook business pages, is that yeah, we got so much likes, but Facebook could just take that away, or they could start charging you, and maybe charge you to keep it as a CRM. There's different angles where these social media platforms can go, and same for LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn is a I mean, you could use it as a CRM, but as of right now, I mean, I usually network with people, message a lot of people every day, but they haven't limited me yet. I know about a couple months ago, I was doing a lot of messaging, and they like blocked me for like 15. Well, not blocked me, but they told me not to message any more people for like 15 days. So maybe in the future they could charge.
Yeah, you gotta watch that. And I've actually I've worked for enterprise sales organizations before, and all of my colleagues will be leveraging the paid versions of LinkedIn, and they will just assume I am as well, and I'll inform them that I actually do not do that. I don't do quite as much. The prospecting that I do on LinkedIn is a little more targeted. I kind of already know where I want to land with it, so it's not like I'm doing mass prospecting on there. But yeah, I don't use the paid version at all.
Yeah, which I was going to ask you if you use the premium, but which a lot of people have been telling me it's good if you're like a recruiter just to track people or to track that you want to hire or if you want to connect with like the higher ups, so a CEO.
Yeah, I worked for it was we worked as a technology services company, so we worked on, it was called TechStream. It's in Atlanta. It's still around. Check them out. They're a great group of guys. They do really fantastic work, guys and girls. They do fantastic work around Oracle and Splunk and some other things. But we also had a recruiting side. And I remember the first time that LinkedIn came in to visit the office, and I met with all the recruiters, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, because I had never really been open to that world. And I was like, what is LinkedIn? What do they want with you? And like, are you kidding? LinkedIn has all the information we possibly need to source good candidates. Oh my gosh, that makes total sense. So yeah, as long as I stay out of recruiting, maybe they won't bother me.
Now, do you like how much do you network in person versus online?
Man, I prefer to meet people in person. I love it. It's my favorite way. You just get the most, I feel like, information out of people. And I don't mean that. I just mean there's so much nonverbal communication that happens. You can see it just an email versus a phone call, how much more you can get done, or just you can get to an understanding quicker. So if you're in person, it's so much better to me. And I think LinkedIn and social media does its very best to bridge that gap to some degree. What do? I send them a LinkedIn request. We connect there. And then again, it's a great way to stay in front of those people who I'm not able to see on a more consistent basis, because maybe we're in different markets.
Yeah, I mean that's what I do too. When I usually network with people, I get their business cards, but I like the very next day or that night on my phone, I put in their like the data, name, email, phone number, and put it like to my CRM because you never know, if it's a potential business prospect, and of course, it's just you're planting a seed, but maybe that seed won't grow till like a couple months later.
Right. Yep. That's something we talk about. I talk about with prospects in terms of pay-per-click advertising, which is something that we do. Is you just want to get people like brand aware. So if you think about this, it's more like I want you to know about the brand that is me. You know what I mean? Just so you're like, okay, because maybe you're not ready to convert. Maybe you're not ready to utilize me for services or something like that. But I can sort of stay consistently in front of you, give you a few touch points, and then sometimes, oh yeah, Matt does that interesting pitch practice every week. We had talked about me coming to pitch. Oh, I should do that. That looks cool. I'm glad he posted it, because it reminded me.
These social media enclaves, I mean, might be more important than like TV advertising or radio advertising at times.
I think so. I mean, it just makes more sense to me, because you're able to attribute all this stuff. I hate to use that word, but all the traffic that converts, you can say, hey, this traffic converted and they searched for these terms, and then they came onto the website and bought immediately, versus we paid all this money for an ad spot on, and I have a friend who sells sells radio ad space, so he's going to kill me if he hears this, but yeah, we paid all this money for this spot on the radio, and there's ways to kind of try to, like, oh, if you use this code and this, that, and the other, but that stuff's not as close to 100% locked in as pay-per-click advertising, or even what you can attribute with traffic that hits your site organically. So it's harder in my mind, I don't see how people justify the return on ad spend as easily with television and things like that, because you know who you're reaching, but you don't know whether that conversion happened.
Yeah. Some people say the safest investment is a Super Bowl commercial.
Well, I mean, there's definitely some really great stories for that, right? There was a Dollar Shave Club. I think the CEO wrote a letter to the board of directors, I think, and he said, "Hey, you know, we're about bankrupt. I'm gonna Hail Mary it. I'm just gonna buy a Super Bowl ad with the remaining advertising budget," and that turned that around. From what I understand, so it works. It definitely works, and I've heard that before too, where once you start doing things like television advertising, I mean, you're not going to go back. You can't. And I think partly you can't go back because you'll see an increase in sales, but you don't really know. Again, you're not able to attribute all that very well. So it's like, I can't go back because I don't really know why it's working.
Yeah. It's, you know, with like the whole media trends changing, it's just hard for big companies to decide, okay, where to allocate the funds at, put in all of it. Even Snapchat's an option, I think. So, but I mean, you use Snapchat still?
You know, that is one I'm not huge on. It's just a preference thing. I don't think there's anything, because I do, I'll use, for me personally, I'll use Instagram and Facebook to show a more personal side to like how I do business and my business, but it's still definitely business focused at this point. I'll use it for one thing, and that is when my wife's out of town and she wants to see pictures of the dog, I can pretty easily send her videos of the dog.
Now we know you're a dog person.
Yeah, she won't let me get a cat. So,
oh, you would get a cat.
I'd be down for a cat. Why not? Cats are cool, you know. I mean, I don't want to get rid of the dog, but
a little bit of both. It feels, you know, it's funny because I don't meet too many people that like both. It feels like it's one or the other.
It does. It's like a pretty polarizing topic. Are you a cat or dog person? But
I'm a no pet person. I don't know. It's just. That's just, I don't know, it's just my thing. It's like an extra responsibility I can't handle.
Man, that's how I was when I was single. It was like, oh, if I need to go on a business trip for 7 days, you know, fine, gone. You know, I don't need to worry about it. There's nothing I need to worry about. So.
Who is your favorite entrepreneur?
Man, this is such a tough question for me, but there's a guy named Peter Diamandis, who I've read his book Bold, and I follow a lot of what he has to say on social media. And so he might be my favorite, but then there's a guy named Darren Hardy. I read his book recently, The Compound Effect, that really speaks to me and my style, which is that of working hard over a long period of time and getting positive incremental results over time. So that just really speaks to me. So Peter Diamandis, a close second would be Darren Hardy.
What is your favorite business book?
My favorite business book? That's a really good question as well. You just read so many of them throughout the years, but one that was given to me by the EVP of sales at TechStream, that managed service practice I mentioned earlier, his name's Jed Robbins. He gave me a book by a guy named Aaron Ross called Predictable Revenue. Man, that's a great book. I think it's just such a good book for building sales teams and sales organizations, and it's sort of like it's a little bit basic almost in a way, but it's one of those things that's like it points out stuff and you're like, well, I knew that, that's pretty obvious now that you point that out, but I don't know that I would have included it otherwise. So Predictable Revenue by Aaron Ross, great book if sales is kind of your thing.
You know, it's funny because everyone always told me to read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and a lot of the concepts, I already knew that. That was, you know, obviously, you learn some new things, but, you know, there's some books where you're like, you know it, but I guess it just reinforces it a little bit for you.
Yeah, Rich Dad Poor Dad is a little bit more to me of a mindset book. Mm. That is a great book. Definitely one of the top 10 for me. But it gets it puts you in a mindset of an entrepreneur. Like, oh, okay. This, with Aaron Ross, it's almost a little more tactical. Like, oh, this is how you would go about increasing revenue in your consulting business or whatever it is.
Yeah, and a whole lot of real estate investors read that book, I've noticed. What is your favorite quote?
Oh man, I have so many quotes. I am the quote guy. I have a ton of quotes. And I didn't have one right in front of me. But here's one from Thoreau. Go confidently in the direction of your dreams and live the life you have imagined. That's maybe not my all time favorite quote, but that's one that I had written down this morning as one that really speaks to me. I think it's important for, you know, you only get one shot, right? This is your, I say it's your life experience. So go for it. Make it what you want. I don't know, people start complaining about their 9-to-5 job or whatever it is, or their life. I mean, I know things happen and it's tough, but make for what you can control, make it what you want it to be. And I think people would be a lot happier if they would just go confidently with what is in their, kind of in their, not to get too poetic with it, but like in their soul.
That's a good quote. You're that guy that writes the quotes and puts it on your wall or something?
So another mentor of mine sends me a list of quotes every Friday, and it triggers to me to journal. So I get that quote, those quotes, and I run through them all. It also will include a TED Talk. And sometimes I watch a TED Talk, maybe not if it's not a very interesting topic, but I read all the quotes and I pick three that I like and I write them all three down. And then I journal, kind of just a quick update on where I am. It's pretty business focused, but I talk a little bit about, you know, my wife and what's going on with us too. And it's fun to go back a year from the date and to go back and read and be like, oh, wow, I was all, you know, worried about this thing that never came to fruition. So it's, for me, having those quotes is good for mindset, and then also looking back and journaling around those quotes is good.
Speaking about mentorship, how important is that for anyone?
Yeah, I think it's so essential. I think it's so essential, and I almost think I do it too much, where I'm approaching people for advice and feedback and mentorship. I've got somebody I'm always seems like I'm, hey, let me get your opinion on this. And I don't know if it might be a little off putting at times for the person I'm asking, but generally I find if you ask somebody for help on a situation, whether it's just perspective or, hey, what do you think my path forward is? People love to help out. In general, I think human nature to provide them, like, oh, I can provide you some perspective on this or some feedback on this experience. So I would suggest anybody to go, and it doesn't have to be super formal, but just take somebody to lunch once a quarter is kind of what I settled on, and catch up with them, ask them some of their for some advice, and ask them, hey, what's made you so successful in your space? And if that's true, that's key too, is to find someone that you kind of admire what they're doing and what they've done.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't have a mentor now, but I like to have like a older person, like 20 years older than me. And it just has been there and done that because they've been through it. Why not ask them?
Mm-hmm. Man, it's great to have somebody who's retired.
Yeah.
It's good to have somebody who's, you know, maybe like you were saying, like 55-ish or something like that. Yeah. You know, they're kind of in the, they're maybe in a CEO spot, right? And then you've got somebody who is maybe one or two steps ahead of you. Like, so maybe one or two steps ahead of me is somebody with one or two or three kids. They're heading up a company of $50 million a year or something like that. Or sales for a company of $50 million a year or something like that. And so it's good to see, like, oh, I can see the next step and kind of see where and get really good feedback on how to achieve that. And then I also, likewise, I think it's really important to try to get back and find someone you can help out, you can mentor and point through a situation.
Which is, yeah, which I've gotten a few for the past couple of years of, you know, people that are like 10 years younger than me, or some kids that get out of college, they want to start their business, or like they don't know how to, but they ask me. And typically goes well. I mean, I kind of point them to the right direction, but a lot of them is just, you just got to have execution. That's just like the thing that's slowing them down. But anyways, ready for some random questions.
Let's do it.
What does a global entrepreneur mean to you?
I guess I think instantly it's the I go to Instagram where you've got these people with the private jet and I'm getting picked up in a Bentley and I'm literally jet setting around the world. That might though be a bit of a misnomer, but that might just not be quite as glamorous as I would think. I know I used to think business travel was really glamorous until I started doing it. And I'm like, oh, this is not, you know, oh, it's cool. I'm going to San Francisco and I'm going to sit in a boardroom for 8 hours. And then I'm going to go directly to the hotel and go to sleep, wake up at 4 a.m. and then fly home. Like that's not going to San Francisco as you might think. So I think a global entrepreneur, probably somebody who's working a lot harder than you might think.
I agree with you. Like I always thought business travel would be amazing, you know, traveling every month. And I asked my friends that do that. It's like, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. It's tiring. Plus you're not, you know, consistently back home, you know, being with your friends, hanging out, and you're kind of like, it's like every week's different. So, if you had a conversation or have a meeting with one of these guys for 1 hour, who would it be? Between Gary Vee, Grant Cardone, or Tai Lopez, who would it be?
I guess Grant Cardone. I just feel like I love Gary Vee too. I just feel like he might. I don't know if our personalities would. I feel like I'm too southern and relaxed and slow or something for him. He's got that New York mindset. Like, get to it. What's the point? What do you want? What's going on? Let's go. Let's go. And I feel like I need a Grant Cardone, more of an intelligent conversation about what you're doing and where you're going. And maybe I envision him having more of a Socratic method where he's like asking me questions to help me arrive at where I need to.
Yeah. I agree. I think it comes down to personality. Like I can handle all the three guys, to be honest, but if I had to choose between the three, it'd be Gary Vee, cause he'll definitely motivate me more and get me out working right after the conversation. And how do you have your pancakes?
With tons and tons and tons of syrup. I put like so much, everyone's always laughing at me. It's like ridiculous. But I'm like, I'm here for the syrup. And the pancake is like a great vehicle for that. So bring it on.
Me too. I'm the same way. I think people look at me as long as it's gross. But I mean, the syrup is the best part, you know? You're
right. Yeah.
Matt, how can people reach you?
Well, you could probably just Google my name, Matt Ficken. But I'm all over LinkedIn, like we talked about. But I encourage all your listeners, reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm all over Twitter as well, at Matt Ficken. Instagram, it's at Ficken Famous right now.
it's hard to have all your usernames the same. Some people can do it, but some people have like that one that's not the same.
I like to, with Instagram, which to me is an extension of Facebook, I'm trying to have a little more fun and let you into a little bit more, give you a little more of my side of my personality. So try to make it not all business on Instagram. But
yeah, it's you got a little bit of both. Some people don't post anything with their family. They kind of keep that a little bit private. They just take a picture of their food or their dog or something like that. But yeah, Matt, really glad you came on the show. Obviously, when I first met you, it was so easy. It feels like we know each other. I could just hang out with you, have some coffee, have lunch, and I'm really glad you come on. Any closing words?
Oh, man, no. I think everybody just everybody get out there and push those social media channels to help drive some business for yourself. And contact me if you have any needs around digital marketing.
Yes, and also contact Matt if you need, you know, to get to someone or someone in the industry. Matt knows people. I mean, he knows more people than I do, pretty much. But anyways, Matt, I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Oh, I appreciate being here. It was great catching up with you and chatting again. We'll have to do it again soon.